Now, today I'm bringing a word with three questions, but one answer. Those questions are, what if I failed? How do I get healing? And where is peace? I want to start with, what if I failed? It's a question we ask ourselves all the time. Leading into accepting Christ, you ask yourself, are my failures too big? God can't forgive what I've done. He can't make me a son because I'm not worthy of that title. He can't make me a daughter because I'm not worthy of that title. And sometimes we get into the faith and we accept the covenant of grace and we still bind ourselves to the law, and we all the time will say to ourselves, I failed God. Here we go again. I'm not getting into heaven. I sinned again. What do I do when I fail? What if I failed? What do I do in my moments of failure? It is a common question in the faith. It starts from the beginning, and I know many people who have that question all the way until their last breath as a Christian. But I want to look at Luke 23, 39 through 43 as an example. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. This is while he is crucified on the cross. But the other responded and rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Jesus said these words, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. At the very last moment, when the failures caught up to the thief, it was his belief in Christ that allowed him paradise. See, man crucified him for crimes, but Christ granted him an everlasting life for belief. What does that mean for the question, what if I failed? It means that the presence of Christ wipes clean your mistakes. Just being in proximity to Christ and being in the right proximity, willing to serve and admit who Christ is, that was enough to alter the afterlife for a thief. God's presence will wipe clean the mud from your life. Your failure is not the driving force of your life. Christ's promise that you will be with me in paradise is the driving force of your life. You are not simply pinned on a cross by the world for them to watch you die. No, you are pinned to a cross by the world because they think they've got you. But all along, Christ is right there with you, pinned just like you are, waiting for you to acknowledge him, waiting for you to say, Christ, let me be with you. I acknowledge you, Christ. What a powerful message in that story. That at the very last moment, that could have been that man's last breath. As he was pinned to a cross, he used his last strength to defend Christ. And what did Christ do in response? He granted him a lifetime's more breath. Your failures may have you pinned down, but always remember there were three crosses there that day. Christ is always there with you. It is up to you whether you are the thief or the criminal who was hurling abuse. The thief knew that he was in the presence of greatness. He was in the presence of true good. And so instead of holding on to his mistakes, he acknowledged that he had made mistakes, but instead of holding on to those mistakes, he simply awed in the presence of Christ. So at times when you are stuck on your failures, Be like the thief. Acknowledge that they are there. Acknowledge that you have done wrong. But then stand in awe of Christ. Enjoy the presence. Bask in his glory. When you hold on to your mistakes, what you are really doing, and I know some people are going to be turned off when I say this, but I say it in truth, and I say it to save you from hurt. When you hold on to your mistakes, and you tell God that you're too dirty, that you've made too many mistakes, that he can't use you, that he can't rescue you, what you are doing is you make meaningless the power of the cross on your life. Jesus died for your sins, and his death had merit. His death had purpose. And for us to continually throw our failures that he died for, back at him as an example as to how he's not good enough to fix how bad we are, what we are truly saying is we don't really believe in the power of the blood that was shed that day. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to look at your life and be frustrated. It's so easy culturally to look at your life and feel small and diminutive and to feel bad for your mistakes and sorrow for your mistakes. Guilt for your mistakes is a natural occurrence and is often good. But when you are arriving in the presence of God, your mistakes are not the important thing. His presence is. No failure is too big for God to wash away. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter who you've wronged and what you've wronged them with. Christ is bigger than that. God's promise of everlasting life through grace is bigger than that. You are one of 8 billion people alive today, and that number is growing as I speak. Do you really think you are the one that Christ's presence can't change? Do you really think you are the one that Christ didn't die for? I assure you, every being on this earth that has ever lived and ever will live reaps the benefit of the death of Christ that day. Be like the thief and bask in his presence. What if I fail? What do I do when my mistakes get in my way? Get in the presence of Christ and acknowledge his presence. Christ is truly always there. It is up to you to simply acknowledge him. It is like an activator in your life, like a light switch. These lights exist year round. They don't disappear when we leave, but they only work when you flip the switch. And Christ's presence is always there, but you don't see it until you flip your perspective and see how good his glory is despite your situation. That thief was dying on a cross, and he knew death was imminent, and he still wanted to bask in the presence of Christ. So the next time you find yourselves worried with your debt or worried with your health, worried with your relationship, remind yourself that you aren't on your last breath. But once a thief was, and he acknowledged Christ, and you should follow that example. The next question we get often is, how do I get healing? And I'm going to read you a story in the Bible here that I think really captures what Jesus is like and how powerful Jesus truly is. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. 25, and a woman was there, and had been subject to bleeding for over 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I wonder if she was asking, how do I get healing? But when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Yet again, someone whose life was altered and changed by the presence of Christ. I may be Barry in the lead here for this sermon, but I assure you that woman was correct in thinking the presence of Christ brings about healing. This woman knew how powerful Christ's proximity is. We should know that too. We have countless stories and miracles to look at. We have Bible scriptures and personal stories to know that when the Father is near, things are good. You know, I have children of my own, and they come to me at night sometimes, and they say, "Daddy, I'm scared." And they'll tell me, "I think there's a monster in my room." Or Caden will say, "Ah, there's a monster on my TV." And they look at these creatures with their horns and their fur and their muscles, and they're terrified of them. And yet they think their father is big enough to handle it. I assure you, I would do my best, and I always assure them they'll be safe as long as they're with me. Our Heavenly Father is no different. As the monsters of life come at us, we should be like little children in the dark and run into our father's bedroom and say, "Daddy, I'm scared." Do you know what the truth is about every little kid who comes to their mother or father's room at night when they're scared? The truth is, it's not me. It's not that I stand here as a man who looks like he can slay monsters. I think I can handle my own. But the truth is, I have a presence that makes them feel safe. And so they come to me when they don't feel safe. Christ has a presence that makes me feel safe. So I run to him when I don't feel safe. I pry my way through my covers and I get out of the room and I run from the monsters as quick as I can and walk into the bedroom of God and find myself in the presence of safety. Because I know that the presence of God is a good thing. And only good things are bred from it. So I find myself angling for his presence as often as I can. Because the world will constantly throw you little monsters in your life. The little monster of debt will come after you. The little monster of financial hurt will come after you. The monster of the diagnosis will come after you. It does not change that every one of those has no option but to be gone when I am in the presence of my Father. But I want to assure you that presence doesn't guarantee the healing you think you deserve or you think you need. The presence of God guarantees that you are in good hands, so it must come with trust. When my children come to me and they run into my room and they tell me about the monsters and I assure them that they're okay, in the back of their mind, I know they don't think that I've done anything yet. And yet they trust me to go back to their room. Because they know, though I did not do what they think I should do, they knew I told them they would be okay. So while you are in the presence of God, you are in hands that are keeping you safe. And the storms may stick around for you, but I assure you, you are in the calm of the storm. While the winds and rains are blowing and falling, you are not privy to their wonders. You are privy to the wonder of God. Healing comes from Christ. Healing comes from the Father. Being closer to him logically dictates more healing. Why would we not just continually seek his presence? Why would we not find ourselves stuck on him? I have never once in my life looked at my life and analyzed it and said, "Yep, I got nothing I need to pray for." I always have a need. And sometimes my need is for other people that I care about. But I always have something I want to bring to God. Always. So I'm always finding myself trying to run into his room and interrupt him and say, "God, please, listen, I need you. I need you. I know I prayed about it last week, but I just want to tell you, I need to feel safe again. The woman with blood, the issue of blood is an example that healing doesn't always come easy, but it always comes from God's presence. Can you imagine an issue of bleeding for 12 years? How frail that woman must have been. How hurt she must have been. The mere journey to get there must have been hard on her. But the Bible says she pressed through the crowd to get to Christ's presence. It doesn't say she had an easy ride. It doesn't say the crowd split and she walked very easily. It doesn't say that for whatever time she needed, her blood stopped bleeding out of her. She was probably still dripping blood. She probably was still losing blood, maybe even worse because of the conditions of that area. It may have been hard on her. It was probably hot and dry. It probably brought her fever up higher. She probably was feeling ill, and she pressed through the crowd. Sometimes life is going to have a crowd in front of you. The presence of God is always there, but it is our job to push through the crowd, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much we hurt, no matter how much blood we've lost, it is our job to press through the crowd and get to the healing that we know is real. With this, I want you to stop relying on other things for your healing. I'm reminded of an old joke where a woman was at her house and it started to flood, and she climbed up to the top of the house, and someone came by in a boat, a little rowboat, and they said, "Come on, I'm going to save you." And she said, "No, God's going to come and save me." And they went on about their way. Then next, someone came with an actual boat and said, "Ma'am, come on, we're going to get you. We're the life rescue team." And she said, "No, God is going to get me." And they went on their way. Finally, a starflight showed up above their house. And they dropped a ladder and they said, "Climb, ma'am, climb. We're going to save you. You don't have much time." And she said, "No, God is going to save me." Well, later that day, she drowned. She gets to heaven and she says, "God, why in the world didn't you save me?" He said, "I sent a rowboat, a boat, and a plane. I did save you." The healing that you have in your life comes from God. And we always have to be in the presence of God to receive that healing. But when I say stop relying on other things for your healing, I mean stop relying on things you know aren't going to fix your problems. When it's hard in life, don't make things harder with your bad choices. When life gets rough and you don't have much money, don't spend the last of it on a bottle so you can feel better. It won't make you feel better. It'll only bring you more issues. And when life gets rough and your doctor's report isn't good, don't spend money on bad habits to make yourself be distracted. We oftentimes find ourselves getting ourselves into sin to distract us from the hurt that sin has put on us. When the truth is, if we would just press through the crowd and find the presence of God, we would find the savings that we need. And I want to remind you that the opposite is true. When you distance yourself from God because times ain't good, you are only guaranteeing more hard times. I'm reminded of so many people in my life who got mad at the church because life wasn't going the way they thought it should. And they leave. And I come across them years later, and I'm curious how their life is going. Not through pettiness, but through genuine care. And they always seem to be doing worse. And I just want to reach out to them, and I just want to say, come back into the presence of God. That's what you needed all along. It wasn't that God wasn't with you. It's that he had a plan and you didn't stick to it. It wasn't that God didn't have the answers. It's that you didn't understand the answers. So the presence of God answers the question of how do I get my healing? And the last question today is, where is peace? And oh, is this question so relevant in today's world? You cannot get on the internet and find peace anywhere. You can't find it in politics. You can't find it in sports. If you go online right now and you post, "I love sticks," people are going to tell you how much sticks suck. If you go online and you say, "Man, I really love air," people are going to tell you how dirty air is and how we don't need it. There is always an argument. There's always vitriol. There's always hatred. So you can find yourself saying, where is there peace. A thing that husbands value above all else in life is peace. Peace. No, not the old joke that my wife needs to bring me peace and stop causing problems. I'm talking about the reality that as men, we go into the world trying to solve issues for people that we care about. We go fight fights that we don't need to fight so other people around us can have the benefit of the peace that we've won. And when we get home or when we get a break, all we desire is peace, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, because we know peace is Christ-like. And good Christ-like men know the power that peace has. And we know that the power of peace keeps the ship steady. So we are constantly asking, where is peace? In every situation as a man I look at in my life, I ask myself first and above all else, where is peace? Not where is the answer, where is peace? I'm going to read another scripture for you. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and ask, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." The world is hectic, chaotic. It will suck you in and spit you right back out. Find Christ, find peace. Find Christ, find peace. When you are struggling in the storm, go to the ship and find where Christ is sleeping and get your peace. This story is a reminder that the size and scope of your storm is of no importance. Christ is always the calm in the storm. The winds may be blowing, the waves may be crashing, hurricanes may be on the way, those around you may be afraid, the sirens may be going off, they may be telling others to evacuate, what the situations that you're in, people may wonder how you're doing it. Christ's presence always is the peace that you need. And I'm reminded that when Christ was sleeping, that boat was still being rocked by the waves. That boat was still being moved around by the winds. It is not that the winds and waves were not attacking that ship. It's that they did not have to worry whether or not they were in good hands. Because like I mentioned earlier, when you are in the presence of the Father, you are in safe hands. Those tired of chaos should seek refuge in his presence. I often have to log off of the internet, and I contemplate never getting back on because I'm so tired of the muck and the mire. But I also know that I have to be a part of it in some way. I can't abandon the storm. I have to help calm it for other people. And it's my job to be a calming presence in those moments. And it's so tempting when other people are making bad arguments and bad faith arguments, and it's so tempting to get in and win the argument like I know I could. But instead, I try to be like Christ, asleep in the midst of the storm. He didn't care that the winds and waves were crashing, because he knew that his proximity produces peace. His proximity produces peace. I challenge every man today who's hearing this message, when you are looking for peace, look for God. Don't look for the peace that you can bring. Because the disciples were probably at peace with the boat before they got to the storm. They probably felt good about the direction they were going. They probably thought, yeah, we got it. The ship is righted. We're going to do this. But when storms came, they were mortified, petrified even. They came running down to wake a sleeping Jesus. I don't know about you, but the idea of waking a sleeping Jesus, it's kind of scary to me almost. I was horrified of waking my sleeping father as a child. I was like, look, I always wanted to be like, hey, Dad, I wanted to tell you, it's very important before you're mad. I know you're tired, but, and I always kind of like half opened the door and was like, hey, Dad. So that way, if he looked up and I knew he was angry, I could just shut the door and pretend it was a dream. And sometimes he would come down the hallway and he'd say, "What did you want?" I'd be like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I've been in the room the whole time." And I'd fast forward a movie and I'd be like, "Look, I mean, it's 45 minutes in. I hadn't even paused it yet. Like, what are you talking about?" I wonder how fearful they were that they woke in and barged through the door and said, "God, we're going to die. Jesus, we're going to die." And then he woke up and he was like, "What's wrong with you guys? Don't you realize who you're with? Do you really think that the waves and winds would crush me?" That proximity of peace in Christ is something we should constantly seek. Because the truth is, proximity to Christ produces peace. And if you are not peaceful, you are not in his presence. If you find yourself stirring the pot, you're not in the presence of God. If you find yourself arguing and bickering, you're not in the presence of Christ. You're in the storm. And it's easy. Look at how easy it was to be in the storm for the disciples. In the same boat they found peace, they found a storm. It was simply their perspective that changed. They found Christ, they found peace. But it wasn't their environment that changed until they woke up Christ. Oftentimes when storms are coming, we're right in the middle of it. We may even be the cause of the storm sometimes. But the truth is, a simple change in your perspective and what you're looking at and what you're looking for can change your situation. And recognizing that I'm not being very peaceful. The biggest mistake of the disciples was not being at peace in the presence of Christ. They had had many examples hand to hand with Christ. You have even more examples with Christ to know what his presence can bring you. And the truth about Jesus being asleep is that Jesus was asleep because he knew in him there was safety and peace. It wasn't that he was unaware of the storm. He wasn't blissfully in danger. No, he knew. These storms are brewing. The winds and waves are crashing. But I'm feeling tired. And I'm going to get my rest because the winds and waves are not in control of me. I am in control of them. And he didn't even need to calm the winds and the waves for himself. He simply did it to show them how powerful he is. He clearly thought that the winds and the waves could not stop him. So I often think that Christ stopped those storms to show the disciples who they were with, to remind them. The next time you think Mother Nature is going to bring you down, remind yourself that the Father is in your presence. Knowing these things, we should constantly be pursuing Christ. We should constantly be after him. We should constantly be seeking him. In every situation, in every moment, we should be asking ourselves, where is Christ and how close am I to him? Like when I go to the store with my children and I know that the problem of kidnapping is rampant in America and I know that it is a danger, I always think to myself, anytime I turn a corner, where are my children? Where are they at? How close are they to me? We should be like that with the Father. As we turn the corners of life, we should be thinking, where is Jesus? Where is he at? Let me make sure he's with me. Let me make sure I am with him. Let me make sure I have eyes on Christ. Because there's an election coming up. Whether you want to admit it or not, I would be a great prophesier today. There's another war coming sometime. There ain't going to be peace for long. There has not been peace on this world consistently. And for us to think that there's not another war coming is a bit foolish. There is more war. There is more heartache. There's another diagnosis. There's another financial crash. There's another Enron coming to rob you of your savings. There's another fraud coming. There is another challenge. On this life, there is always something coming. Do not fall to the devil's attack of being complacent with where you are. Always be moving and looking for Christ. Always be aiming for Christ. We should think there is no too close to him. I love my children dearly. Sometimes they're too close to me, and I tell them to back away. Especially Caden. He wants to sleep on the couch with me every night. And so I wake up, and I go in there in the middle of the night, and I sleep with him to make him finally get the little bit of rest that he needs. And I go in there, and he wants to have both legs on me, both arms, and often he wants to have his mouth on my face. It's like just breathing night air out of his lungs and into my nose, and I always push him away because he's a little too close. I assure you, there is no too close for you in Christ. You should be pinned to him with every ounce of you that you have. Every binding piece of flesh on your body should be touching Christ as much as you can. When you are in trouble, take your hands and pick up the word. When you are in trouble, use your lips and say a prayer. When you are in trouble, find praise in your heart and in your mind and give it to him. Use your feet to walk in and out of church every Sunday to look at what can happen with your life when you do that. There is every ounce of your body that should be attached to Christ. Get your elbows in Christ. Get your knuckles in Christ. Find a way to get as much of you as you can on the Father. Because whatever little bit you leave out, the world is going to grab and pull from you. All three questions we asked today can be answered like this. Christ's presence. Where is healing? In Christ's presence. Where do I find peace? In Christ's presence. Every question you've ever had is answered that way. Every single question I wrote here, every question is answered. Where is the presence of Christ? Every single thing I wrote, how do I get healing? What if I failed? Every note I have comes down to this. I wrote a whole sermon to tell you two words, get in Christ's presence. Oh, that's more than I said. Oh, I said two words twice, didn't I? Because it really boils down even less than that. Christ's presence, Christ's presence. When you have questions, he is the answer. The Bible says he is the way. When you're asking yourself, how is this going to work out? I am the way. When you are asking yourself, what should I believe? He is the truth. And when you are asking yourself, how do I rescue myself from the death that my sin should have bought me? He is the life. Christ's presence is every answer to every question you've ever had. So as we get in further and further to our faith, ask yourself, where is Christ? Where is Christ? Look for it in every situation. This coming election, look for Christ. I'm not telling you to look down the ballot and decide which person do you think has the most biblical votes on their side. No, look and decide for yourself who you're going to vote for. But in the midst of all the muck and the mire and the mudslinging, ask yourself, where is Christ? When you have friends and family that are posting that all liberals are going to hell or all Republicans think they're going to heaven, but they're going to hell, ask yourself, where is Christ? Where is he? I assure you, he's not in the muck and he's not in the mire. He is the peace and the calm in the storm. Look for him in all that you do. Look for him in everything you've ever done. Remind yourself, every good thing bleeds away from Christ. The blood that was shed that day was so good it saved your life. So if you could just get in the presence and get a little drip of that goodness, your life would be changed and altered. Father God in heaven, reveal yourself to us. Show us your bright light so that we may continue to light our path with it. Let us bask in your presence, God, like the thief. We get in your presence to first defend your honor, God. To see those around you who would attack you, we will say no. You should trust this man. You should trust him. To those around us who question God, we have the answer. Christ's presence will change them. To those problems and heartache, God, that the world has put on us, we don't blame them on you. We know that this world is ravaged by sin, but as long as we are in your presence, we are not privy to the heartache of sin. We may go through storms like the disciples, but Christ, we will always kick down your door and ask you for peace. And God, we know sometimes the crowd is circling around us and we're going to have to press through. I assure you, we will press through every single obstacle to get in your presence because we know how powerful the presence of the Father is. When the things of Mother Nature come to get on our back and come to bring us down, we know we must find the Father. For Father, God's presence brings peace, brings answers, brings joy, and brings healing. Those are all the things I pray for every day. And so, God, today I pray with you. Reveal yourself to me at all times so that I might find continuous peace and joy and healing in your presence. Amen.